To hand over to Morta. I need to catch a flight. I'm leaving. I'm going to the UK for a week for my studies in a few minutes. So I need to get in the car and race off. But what a privilege to hand over to somebody that's so passionate for the Lord, so gifted, so capable. Morta is not just our admin guy, the office manager. He's a fantastic youth pastor. I'm very excited about what the Lord's going to do in his life and through him this year, through our youth. So I want to remind you that we have started a youth component to our Sunday morning service. So from Sunday morning next week, tell your teenagers, Morta is, I don't know what he's going to do with them, but I know it's going to be awesome. It's going to be amazing. You guys haven't seen this guy when he gets let loose amongst the youth. He's completely different. But Morta, thanks for taking the reins this morning. And I'm just going to pray for you. Father, thank you that we can commit this morning to you. Thank you for Morta. Thank you that you've put a word in his heart, Lord, for us, God. And it's your words in his mouth, God. And we receive it as such this morning. So we pray, Holy Spirit, that you'd anoint him, that you'd lead him, that you'd touch all of us, God. That we would be fed, that we would leave this place, Lord, knowing that we have met with you. This morning we ask in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. Thanks, Morta.
I got to say, that was a lovely intro. I did enjoy that. Thank you, Pastor. Wow. Can we just pray together, please, before we start? Father, we just want to lift up the name of Jesus today, God. Father, we thank you, God, that 2019, Lord God, is a year where we're just going to experience your fullness once again, God. So, Father, we just wait on you, Lord God, and we pray, God, that you would come and do what you want to do, Father. Father, it's not by might, not by power, but it's only by your Spirit, Lord God. So we enter this year in by the Spirit, Lord God. We don't enter by the flesh, God, we enter by the Spirit, Father. In Jesus' name, Lord God, we pray. And we all say, amen, amen. Amen. Quickly do something with me, please. Just look at your neighbor and ask this question. What is for lunch today? You see, that's how you get a free lunch after church. You just smile at the person next to you, just ask them what's for lunch. So I'm assuming right now that everybody wants to know what actually happened here. You know, sometimes I tend to be a handyman. I think I am a handyman, but my wife will maybe disagree with me on this one. So we've been renovating our little housey that side, and yesterday I was like, okay, there's only one thing that needs to be sorted out finally, and is the avdaki for our car. So I decided I'm going to take a spaker and a hammer, and I'm going to aim on the wood, and I'm going to hit it. And so, like, you know, the first two knocks is like, poh, poh. And I'm like, I've got this, man. Handyman number 101, I've got this. And then all of a sudden, you know, when you get confident, actually cocky, you're like, man, I've got this. Then I just went, poh. And the first thing I did was like, look away, look away, look away. I don't know if I smashed it or if it's still okay. And when I looked at it, I saw the Rainbow Nation on my fingers. Blue, yellow, purple, all kinds of colors, but like, yeah. And I stopped immediately doing what I was doing, so I'm going to get somebody to help me with it. So, boom, 2019, the year is happening, and it's exciting, and I just want to honor my wife for being here with me this morning. Thank you for your support, Miss Kat. I love you very, very, very much. And if you don't know, she's carrying a little girly key. Yeah, so... So if you don't see me too much in church this year, just know that I haven't backslidden. I'm just busy changing diapers at home. So that's it. So, 2019, let's get started. So my wife and I went, I don't know if I can say it's vacation when you go to Porch to the Platteland. Because, like, you know, when people go for vacation, they usually come to the coast. And where there's water, where there's like an ocean or something... Something like that, but when you go to Porch, all you see is like brown. And you wonder, like, Wat gaan hier aan? So we went to Porch, visited our family, and it was a good rest. But firstly, we went to my parents. And when we got there, there was a miracle that took place. I opened the fridge, and I saw milk there. And my heart was rejoicing. And so we were spoiled rotten. And then after that, we visited my in-laws. They are amazing, by the way. I love my in-laws. And my in-laws, they know how to ask the right questions. So one of the questions was, Sien, wat wil jy eet vanavond? And I'm thinking to myself, the Lord bless you and keep you very close to Moja. So it was amazing being with the family. And also, I've got to mention that, you know what, I'm a big fan of coffee. So when I opened the cupboards, I was like, what am I going to find in here? And it was when I opened, I saw Turbador coffee. I was like, I'm moving back to Porch. This is amazing. So like, you know, we really had a good rest, but it's good to see each and every one of you here at church. We trust that it's going to be a blessed and a beautiful year for all of us. So before we start, I just want to reflect a bit on 2018. Some of us might say that, you know, 2018 was hard. But I've got to say that, you know, even though 2018 was hard, we've learned a couple of things. And 2018 showed us what we're actually made of and in whom we trust. I believe that most of us were squeezed to the extent of, like, maybe you were just like, okay, I've got to come to the end of 2018 right now. This is too much for me. I remember, me personally, it was like, it was a hard year. I'm not going to lie. It was a hard year, but the Lord pulled me through. Everybody say, the Lord. The Lord. Amen. Amen to that, brothers and sisters. And I've been encouraged by Apostle Paul, actually, when he speaks to the Philippians church, and he says, you know, everything that has happened to me was for the furtherance of the gospel. So everything, all the shipwrecks, when he was beaten up, and all that stuff, he says everything was for the furtherance of the gospel. Imagine now in 2019, you can say, you know what, I was stuck on something, but the Lord pulled me through. So you can actually encourage someone this year with all your hardships that you went through last year. And we all know that, you know what, God doesn't actually allow us to go into a season without actually building the discipline that we need for that season. So it's like, okay, 2018 was hard, but listen, God, I love what Angus Bachan said at its time. It's like, everything is happening but God. But God. So we keep God central in our lives. We keep on looking to Jesus, the author and the finisher of our faith. Amen. Man, I'm getting excited. I'm getting excited for this year. And I know some of my youth guys are going to be like, oh my word, not that story again. But this morning, I have the privilege of just sharing bits and pieces of my testimony. So as you can see, the title of the message is Coming Home and Staying Home. Coming and Staying Home. Because, you know, there's been this thing in my heart that, you know what, the beginning of the year, everybody's like, okay, I'm going to serve the Lord Jesus. First Sunday, church is packed. Everybody's like, okay, let's all go for Jesus, and this is going to be amazing. I'm going to trust the Lord with everything. I'm not going to lean on my own understanding and all of that. But then the year begins to go, and people begin to leave home. They don't stick with the Lord. They don't stay with the Lord. It's like, okay, I've received Jesus now. Now I can actually carry on with my old lifestyle. And how many of us know that, you know what, once you put your hand to the plow, you cannot actually look back, or you're not fit for the kingdom. So this year is a year where you're like, you need to decide, am I going to follow Jesus? Am I going to be consumed by the love of Jesus? And am I going to allow Jesus to change me from the inside out? Or is it maybe just the first Sunday type of thing that I need to do? Am I just going to worship Jesus on a Sunday, the first Sunday of the year, and I'm going to be like, yeah, I went to church. Bucket list, 101. I've done it. But the fact of the matter is, church, we cannot live our lives in that way. We cannot live our lives based on, like, you know, a decision that we just make today. Scripture says this, you know what, we must produce fruits worthy of repentance. So meaning that if you're going to stick with Jesus, there's fruits that you need to produce. A tree will always be known by its fruit. So this message, coming and staying home. I want to read this very familiar passage for us. Luke 15, verse 11 to 16. Then he said, a certain man had two sons, and the younger one of them said to his father, Father, give me the portion of the goods that falls to me. So he divided them. His livelihood. And not so many days after, the younger son gathered all together, journeyed to a far country, and there wasted his possessions with prodigal living. But when he had spent all, there arose a severe famine in the land, and began to be in want. Then he went and joined himself to a citizen of that country, and he sent him into the fields to feed the swine. And he would gladly have filled his stomach with the paws that the swine ate, and no one gave him anything. So we see right now, this brother has actually watched that movie, Frozen. And he didn't actually understand the words. The word says, let it go, let it go. Can't hold it back anymore. But he changed the words, let me go. You can't hold me back anymore. So basically what happens in this story is that he wakes up on the wrong side of the bed and he tells his dad, like, give me what you have stored up for me. Because, like, I'm not wanting to live in this area anymore. How many of us know that, you know, if we are in our parents' house, we actually live according to their rules. We live according to their standards. So the prodigal son is living and life is happening for him. But he's thinking to himself, like, I just need to grab what's mine and I need to get out of here. And I got to say, it also happened to me. I couldn't wait to get away from home. But then I realized something. I didn't have to pay rent. I didn't have to buy my own food. Everything was happening for me at home. So the prodigal son is like, okay, I'm leaving. I'm leaving and I'm going to go do my own thing. And what I love about the story is that the father doesn't even quarrel with him. He doesn't go like, yo, bro, reconsider this. Like, you seriously want to leave? Doesn't have an argument with him. And he lets him go. And this is where I'm just wanting to take a bit of a turn and just share my story. So I've got to say that my dad, my earthly father, trusts me with everything. Like everything. Especially when I go to Porsche, I even know his PIN card for his bank card. I know everything. Like, he doesn't hide anything from me. And so on a certain day, I decided, actually, because I heard there was something that was happening in, like, one of the townships in Porch. And I asked my dad, like, Dad, can I please borrow the car? Bear in mind, I am 15 years old. Let me just confess this. I started driving at the age of 12, church. So, age of 15, I go to my dad. I'm like, Dad, can I please borrow the car? He's like, sure, but where are you going? And in that moment, I'm like, okay, Dad, I'm just going, you know, almost to the other side. I'm going that way. He's like, listen, it's fine, but I just need to know where you're going. And I'm like, Dad, come on. You know you can trust me. I'm just going to Miller Park to just go KR with some friends. But at the back of my mind, I know that I am lying to my dad. I'm lying to my dad about where I'm going. And so my dad is like, here you go. He hands me the keys. And I decided, okay, this is cool. And I took my personal computer, put it in the car. And I'm like, okay, now we're going to go KR lekker. We're going to go have a ball at the party, because there was a party that was happening at one of my friend's house in one of the townships in Porch. So we decided to drive. And I can tell you that day I had 20 bucks in my pocket. And, you know, 20 bucks was a lot of money. And I put in 20 rand petrol in that car. And we went on to the place. And as we are driving, you know how young people are. The music is pumping. everything is happening. And you know what? By the way, if you see a young person sitting like this in a car, just know that it's not their car, okay? Because if you drive your own car, you sit like this. Because you don't want any scratches on your car. So I'm sitting like that. Life is happening. We're pumping the music. And I've got to mention my friend sitting next to me. Where's my youth people? What's his name? Donut. So Donut was sitting next to me. And so we go into this plaque and we're carrying lacquer with the people. Then we leave. And all of a sudden, Moja hears a voice that says, you know what, Moja, let Donut drive. Donut has never driven a day in his life. What am I doing? Ach, but no, man, I'll teach Donut how to drive. It's fine. I'll teach Donut how to drive with a car that's not mine. So what happens is we start driving. I'm like, dude, you sit here. He's like, dude, I've never driven. I'm like, bro, I'll teach you, man. Just relax. You do this and this and this. And Donut started driving. And he's driving lacquer. And I just said these simple words to him. I'm like, bro, please just watch out for the car that's coming on the right. He's like, what? And he dropped the petrol. So he dropped the petrol and started turning the steering wheel. And then he went through a light post. Sorry, Thais. He hit one of the light poles. And then, but what was funny for me is that the fact of the matter is that he found the brakes after he hit the lamppost. And all I hear from him is like, yo! I'm like, bro. So I jumped out of the car and I grabbed like the bumper of the car that we're driving, threw it in the back seat, and we start driving. I'm like, I'm going home. I'm not waiting for the police. I'm just running away. I'm just running away from this. And as we're driving, I look at the rear mirror and I see there's a car that's following us. And I'm like, okay, what's happening now? I drop Donut at his house and I go to my house. And I park the car outside now. Not inside anymore. I park the car outside. And I get there. And I call my dad. I'm like, Dad, something happened with the car. He's like, what? I'm like, I bumped with the car. And my dad is about this. I don't know if I should say tall or short. But he's about there. Okay. I'm the tallest guy in my family right now. So, he comes out and he's like, what? I'm like, yeah. And he's a mechanic. And you know, mechanics has rubber under. It's like all the oil from fixing other people's cars. So, I'm just there in that moment. And my dad is looking at the car. My dad is on this side. And I'm like, I know I need to be on this side. So it's like we're playing Tetris, me and my dad. It's like if he moves to his spot, I move to the front because I know once he hoists that left hand of his, I'm on the floor. I'm on the floor. So then as we're waiting, as we're still speaking, a police van stops by our house. And then they're like, listen, we heard somebody bumped. And I'm like, here I am, Osifa. You can take me. And they, you know, I got to say, is there any police people, police? Okay, cool, I can speak about you. So what happens, like, you know how they grab you, they just grab you, and they grab you like this, and they just put you in the baki. And that happens, and I'm just sitting in the baki, and they're taking me to the police station. And I'm like, Moja, this is the end. It's done. It's finished. So we get into the police station and they take my statement. What happened? I'm like, first lie, I was the one that was driving. I messed up. I did this because I'm like, I'm not going to rent out Donut because like Donut is, he's very small. So I'm like, you know what? I will take the knock. So they write down the statement and everything. And as I'm sitting there, they arrested another guy, and he's sitting next to me, and he looks at me. He's like, give me a 5 rand. And I'm like, man, I spent all my cash on petrol. And you know, they give you that look. And I'm like, this guy's going to beat me up just now. So, taking down the statement and everything, and then it's time for them to put me in a cell. And all I'm hearing from that side where the cell is like just people just yelling at each other and shouting. I'm like, I'm too cute for all of this. How am I going to survive in there? So I get out, and luckily I knew one of the police officers. So they took me to a single cell. And I remember as soon as I got into the single cell, I just got on my knees and I wept. And you know how your prayers changes when you are going through suffering or stuff like that? Like, Lord, if I just get out of this one, I will serve you. I will not sin against you anymore. My life is going to be perfect from this point onwards. Please just help me. And I'm in that space. 15 minutes later, I just hear that. And they're like, come. I go outside and I see my dad. And my dad came to actually bail me out. So now we are on our way home. I'm thinking to myself, I'm going to get a huge box love from my dad. He's quiet. He's not saying anything. We get home, I open that gate, go inside the yard. And this is what my dad says to me. I'm glad that when you bumped, you actually came home. And I'm like, that's weird. He says these words to me. I would rather lose a car than lose a son. In that moment, I just broke down. I'm like, that is not what I was expecting to hear. This is not what I, like, Dad, you know, you've got every right to sort me out right now. You've got every right to discipline me. But my dad's words that they set me free. It was like a heavy burden was taken off my shoulders. Everything is just going to make sense just now. Let me just read this portion of scripture. Luke 15 again. But when he came to himself, this is a prodigal son again. And he said to himself, how many of my father's hired servants have bread enough to spare? And I perish with hunger. I will rise and go to my father and will say to him, Father, I have sinned against heaven and before you. I am no longer worthy to be called your son. Make me like one of your hired servants. And he arose and came to his father. But when he was still a great way off, his father saw him and had compassion and ran and fell on his neck and kissed him. And the son said to him, Father, I have sinned against heaven and in your sight. I am no longer worthy to be called your son. So in this moment, the prodigal son is like, okay, life has really happened to me now. I don't have any more money to spend. I'm eating what the pigs are eating. I'm in a mess at the moment. And he comes to his senses and he realizes, like, when I was in my father's house, life was happening for me. I didn't need food. I didn't need anything because everything was provided for. And then he said, I'm going to go to my father. But this is what I'm going to say to my father. Dad, I have sinned against heaven and I've sinned against you. I'm no longer worthy to be called your son. Which seems like it's the most appropriate thing to say after we've messed up. But when the father saw him, what did the father do? The father didn't think about everything that the son did. The father didn't think like, oh my word, here comes this prodigal now. He's wasted his money. He's been doing stupid stuff and now he's coming back to me. None of that was in the father's mind. When the father saw him, he stood up and he ran to him. And so some of us, it's like, you know what, during December or the course of the year, we get ourselves into messy situations. And then we feel like we cannot come back to the Father heart of God. We feel like, okay, listen, I've sinned so much right now. I cannot come to Jesus. I cannot come to the Holy One of Israel. I'm just going to be where I am. And there's the voice of the enemy actually telling you are not worthy. And can I just say today that, you know what? God is far greater than the sin that you will ever, ever commit. God is not surprised about you falling. God is not surprised when life happens to us, when we mess up. God is not surprised. But the thing is, we surprise ourselves and be like, we're not going to come back to God. We are fine where we are. You are not fine. You are not fine with where you're standing. Your position is supposed to be with God, not with the world and the enemy. Your position is with Christ Jesus, not with the enemy. And we need to move from that mindset of like, okay, I've sinned, I'm going to be in my own corner. No. When Vessel actually brought the scripture, Christ has come to give us life, and life in abundance. Can I just say that again? Christ has come to give us life, and life in abundance. Why should we listen to the voice of the enemy when he tells us, listen, this is way too much sin now. You cannot come to the Father heart of God. And I know I always say this, but where sin is deep, grace is more, people. The grace of God covers us, and the grace of God pulls us out from where we're standing so that we can be reconciled with the Father. So the Father saw his Son. As the Father is looking at his children today, and Satan calls us by our sin, but God calls us by our names. Do you understand that? That when God looks at us like, oh my word, that is my Son. That is my Son. And yes, when we come to Jesus, he loves us so much to accept us, but he's not going to leave us as we are. He's not going to leave us as we are. He's going to take us through a process of sanctification. Because when he called us, he already justified us. So we are right with him. But now comes the process of actually walking with Jesus through the process of sanctification that the Holy Spirit is going to be doing in our lives. So today, we can decide to come home and stay home when we focus on Jesus. When we decide, okay, Jesus, this is it. Up to here and no further, will I continue to live my life the way I see fit? I'm going to live my life according to you. God has a plan for your life, and God's plan for your life is far greater than what you've done in your life. So we need to focus on Jesus. Don't focus on the sin that you did yesterday, because that's just going to weigh you down. But if you're going to focus on Jesus, you're going to begin to see life. And then Christ is going to begin to lead you once again in the life that he has called you to live. Not the life that you want to live yourself. Carrying on from verse 22. But the Father said to his servants, bring out the best robe and put it on him. And put a ring on his hand and sandals on his feet. And bring the fatted calf here and kill it. And let us eat and be merry. For this son was dead and is alive again. He was lost and is found. And they began to be merry. There's a scripture that says, you know what? When a sinner turns back to God, there's a party that's happening in heaven. God celebrates us. God celebrates us. Can we just break that mentality this year of wanting to be where we are not meant to be, but be with Christ Jesus? I'm excited about this year. You see, like this testimony, I could have ran away. I could have. But this is not what Christ and my earthly Father wanted. I came to my Father, and he sorted me out. When we come to Jesus, he's the one that's going to deliver us. We don't have to deliver ourselves. Listen, we cannot. Our best works are like filthy rags. So we cannot come to God with like our best work. That is never going to work. You cannot say, you know, I'm going to try and fix myself right now. I'm going to stop smoking first, and I'm going to quit drinking first, and then I'm going to stop going to the club first, and I'm going to stop doing this first. No, 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 no. That's the flesh speaking to you. Have you ever noticed, I've smoked once in my life. I took a puff and I was like, this is disgusting, and I threw it away. But I used to have a problem with alcohol, heavy alcohol. At the age of 9, I woke up in a hospital from alcohol overdose because I was drinking with my mom. So he says, so like, yeah, I have a rough past. You haven't heard, like, but I celebrate God more than I celebrate my past. So that's why I don't usually speak about my past. Because God is bigger than what has happened in my life. So, and it was hard. I think I'm going to stand like this and preach this way. What was I saying? Thank you. I had a, had a problem with alcohol. And then it was that thing of like, I'm going to stop it. I'm going to stop it. I'm not going to do this anymore. I'm not going to do this anymore. But you know what? You can go for a week without doing it. Second week comes. And you feel like, I'm the man. Third week. Especially on a hot day. You're like, yes, see, a cold one would be amazing right now. But I know what I said. But it's just going to be one. Just one. And I should be fine. Should be fine. Listen, bring your alcohol, bring your cigarettes, bring everything to Jesus. Listen, don't worry about your baggage, okay? Because when you come to the foot of the cross, that's where your baggage is going to stay. And that's where you're going to move on and live your life with Christ, okay? So like, yeah, this doesn't surprise God what you have done. The only thing that's important is for you to turn back and look to the cross of Jesus and focus on Jesus. So the Father said, bring out a new robe. And they placed it on the prodigal son. And he was saying, listen, I want to read this to you guys. The father was telling the prodigal son, and as well as the people that were observing, that his position as a son was restored when he gave him the robe. It's like, listen, your position has been restored. Secondly, he gave him a ring. It's a sign of authority. Father was saying to him, listen, as I am, you are in this house. The third one, putting on the sandals. In the Bible, slaves used to walk barefoot. Slaves used to walk barefoot. And the father was like, you are no longer a slave, but you are a son. No longer a slave, but you are a son in the kingdom. So when you come back to God, you become a son in the house. A son in the house. And I just want to mention this. As I said, I spoke a bit about that whole sanctification thing. We also need to understand what it's actually going to cost us when we come to Jesus. Ephesians 4, 17 to 25. This I say, therefore, and testify in the Lord, that you should no longer walk as the rest of the Gentiles walk in the futility of their mind, having their understanding darkened, being alienated from the life of God because of the ignorance that is in them, because of the blindness of their heart, who being past feeling have given themselves over to lewdness and to work of uncleanness with greediness. So Gentiles are the people that don't know God. And so this scripture is speaking about the new man. And it says, listen, now that you come into the Lord Jesus, just understand that you cannot walk as you used to walk. You cannot do as you used to do. And you cannot just pray this prayer and carry on with your life again. And as I always say, that doctrine is so wrong. Once saved, always saved. Doesn't work that way. It doesn't work that way. We need to be in pursuit of Jesus every day in our lives. It's not the prayer that saves us. It's that relationship that we pursue with Him, knowing Him. The saddest day on earth is not when Jesus hung on the cross. We know that. The saddest day is when He comes back and He looks at us and says, I never knew you. For you didn't walk according. You, listen, you were busy with other things. You were not busy with me. That is the saddest day. Continuing verse 20, but you have not so learned Christ, if indeed you have heard Him and have been taught by Him, as He is the truth, as the truth is in Jesus, that you put off concerning your former conduct the old man which grows corrupt according to the deceitful lusts, and be renewed in the spirit of your mind, that you put on the new man. which was created according to God in true righteousness. Put on the new man, which was created righteousness. This is God speaking to us. He says, put on Christ. Put on Christ. Mallory, you can come up. Put on Christ. Forget about the former things. Focus on the new man. This new man was created by God. And this is what God is wanting to place on us. It's like, listen, yeah. 2018 happened and stuff happened. But God. I'm going to turn my eyes and focus on God. I'm going to forsake everything. Focus on God. This is not going to weigh me down anymore. This is not going to determine whether I come to Christ or not. I've got it. I've put it on myself. But now, Jesus. Looking unto Jesus, the author and the finisher of our faith, who for the joy that was set before him despised the shame, everything. And now he sitteth at the right hand of the Father in heaven. We need to look to Jesus in 2019. The start of the year. The first Sunday of the year, where we dedicate ourselves once again to God and say, Father, here I am. I'm placing myself on that altar once again. Do what you will this year. Do what you will. So at the end of this year, you don't want to use words like, I should have, I could have, I would have. It should be like, listen, Christ happened. Christ happened. And he happened in my life. Matthew 5:14 says this, we are a light to the world. A city that is set on a hill cannot be hidden. We need to shine. We are the only picture of Jesus that the world is going to get to see. How are we representing Christ? And when he comes again, will he be able to recognize us with the way that we live our lives? Will Christ be able to recognize us and say, that is my son? Or are we still going to be running away because we're scared of the mess? Let your mess become a message to the world. Don't be afraid to share your story. I'm not proud of what I did in my past. But that's not going to determine how I live my life right now. I'm crazy about Jesus. I'm crazy about him. I love him so much. And I can love him because he first loved me. Christ is not surprised. Can you close your eyes, please? Father, we know that we cannot save ourselves, God. We live in a fallen world, God, and we are a fallen people. But we thank you for Christ today, God, who is able to make us stand. Who can raise us from the ashes, God. Who can give us beauty for ashes. So, Father, tonight, this morning, we look to you. We choose to fix our eyes on you, Christ Jesus. Will you come and speak your word into our hearts, God? Renew us, Lord God. Make us whole. Make us like you. Let us be a holy people. As you are holy, God, make us holy. For Father, you have called us, Lord God, not to uncleanness, Lord God, but you have called us to holiness, to a holy lifestyle, to holy living, Father. And I pray, Heavenly Father, Lord God, that the weight of sin, Lord God, will not be upon us, Lord God. But that we would choose you, Jesus. In everything, I pray, God, that we would choose you. Father, we choose to surrender to you once again. Our hearts are yours, God. Our hearts are yours. With every eye closed in this place, If you feel in your heart that you just want to recommit again to the Lord, if the Lord's speaking to you and you wanting to recommit again and you wanting to come home and stay home with Jesus, will you please just raise your hand where you're sitting? Father, you see every hand in this place, God. I pray that today, God, your people will look to you. Pray, Heavenly Father, Lord God, that you would meet your people where they are right now, God. I thank you, Heavenly Father, Lord God, that you will take them through that process, Lord God, of making them like you in every area of their lives, God. Father, come and touch your people. Come and make us new. Father, we consecrate ourselves once again to you. And we thank you, God, that we are not alienated from the life of Christ today. Touch your people, O Lord. Open their eyes. Let them see you. In Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. Church, I want to thank you for being here with us this morning. If there's any prayer requests, I want to invite you to come to the front.